All right, let me just confirm. Jed, are you there with us? Let me just confirm. Jed, are you with us? Okay, Jed, I'm not hearing your voice just yet, so I'm expecting that for some reason you rolled off and you'll roll right back in. So we are right at the top of the hour. And let me just begin by saying welcome to our MediaBits Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you who are in the advertising and media space. Whether you're selling ads in print, your newsletter, or your website, you're in the right spot. Whether your circulation is paid, controlled, or free, you're in the right spot. Whether you're selling ads for your newspaper, your magazine, your niche, or specialty publication, we are delighted that you are here at the beginning of our teleseminars. We always encourage you to find a quiet spot, close your office door, turn off things that electronics that might distract you. The more notes you take and the more notes you make, the better the educational experience. It's also tied to the very best in adult education and learning that simply says that as you're making those notes, we're transferring the knowledge to you. We consider that the coaching approach. And at the end of this teleseminar, you'll be able to incorporate exactly the ideas and the strategies that we are talking about here. Let me just confirm, Jed, are you back with us? Okay, I'm not hearing Jed's voice at this moment. We were connecting right at the top of the hour, and I'm hoping that he will roll right back in. Let me go ahead and just say a few opening words about Power Hour, and then on the back side we'll have Jed say some opening words on that side, and then we'll roll right into our teleseminar for today. My name is Ernest Morienti.
Hey,
there you go.
Sorry about that. I didn't make it back, so we're back now.
And now then, all I've done is say a couple of words of introduction, and I pause for a moment. So, Jed, how about some opening words, if you would, about you, MediaBits, rocking, what's cooking? I'll do a little piece on Power Hour, and then we'll dive right into our conversation today about community outreach events, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Sorry about that. This is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids, and thank you all for joining us today. I always look forward to learning from Ernest when he runs the teleseminars. He has an enormous amount of knowledge around all aspects of publishing and advertising. Thank you to Ernest for sharing it with us today. Like I said, my name is Jed Gould, and I'm from MediaBids. We are devoted to driving revenue to publications, primarily in their print editions. We do this through a variety of different formats, but essentially what we're doing is we are proving to national advertisers day in and day out that the results that they're generating from print publications are more valuable and extremely extremely profitable than almost any other medium. We track every ad that we run, so we're able to show national advertisers exactly the responses they're generating from print. And in campaign after campaign, the results that are generated from print outperform any other medium from a close rate perspective, from a quality of consumer responding perspective. It's a huge opportunity for advertisers, and we bring that opportunity to print publications through a variety of different methods, but essentially what we're trying to do is to use some of the metrics that have made online advertising so popular among national advertisers, and essentially apply that to print. And it's worked well. We work with thousands of publications. We run tens of thousands of ads each week, and we are always happy to talk to more publications and to try to get whatever publication is interested involved. It doesn't cost anything to use MediaBids, and it's a great way to open up a revenue stream that you would not otherwise have access to. Give us a call, check out our website. We're always happy to talk to publications. So thanks again, and I'll turn it back over to Ernest.
Perfect. And thank you so much, Jed. And Jed very humbly talks about the ads that they place, but they truly place tens of thousands of ads. Tens of thousands of magazines, hundreds of thousands of ads, and literally millions of inbound calls, leads, and prospects, and revenue generated for the last two-plus decades. He and their team deeply understand what it means to have ads that produce, ads that bring revenue, and that give you a revenue-sharing component. So always consider MediaBids. For those of you that are already working with them, you know what they do. And if you're not, please circle back and learn more about it. MediaBids. Very briefly, by way of introduction, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is PowerHour. I've been in the advertising sales industry since the mid-80s, launched three of my own publications, so I know what it means to be an entrepreneur, boots up, straps up, go get them. Also, in fact, some of those of you that I see have joined are in Southern California, which is where I did a lot of my work as well in my corporate days and other parts in the West. I also was a leader in a $1 billion media group, so I know what it means to be in a corporate boardroom. I know what it means to not miss your quarterly numbers. I know what it means to have half my compensation directly tied to producing and making those numbers. 1995, we launched Power Hour, so we're literally going into our 25th year. We've worked with more than 2,700 advertising sales teams, companies, and organizations in 14 time zones around the world. During the months of April and May, we work with many of our media clients in the UK, in Ireland, and Europe. And then in September, October, we travel across Canada and either West or East Coast, and we have an opportunity. We had a small window this year in New York, another nice window in San Francisco, travels and working with clients in London, Dublin, Ireland, and Europe. So we love working with our clients around the globe. And most importantly, we love to help you win. And that's really the subject of what we're going to talk about here today. We want to give you competitive advantages. There are sort of standard approaches to driving revenue media success, and then there's some non-standard and what we call proprietary. Today falls into one of those non-standard proprietary. And over the course of 277 educational teleseminars over the last 25 years, we've never done one like this. So we're very excited to talk to you about this. And really, Jed and myself have three goals every time we come together. Number one, we hope that what we talk about today are new ideas to stretch and spur your thinking and your imagination and the possibilities. Number two, if there's something we talk about that you are already doing, we send you a virtual high five saying bravo. That means you're really rolling along with best practices in our space and sector. And then number three, our third goal, is a serendipitous. We're going to share with you examples about being involved in community events and outreach kinds of programs, and that may spark additional ideas for you. So let us know if you have follow-through questions or ways that we can help you and your team from that perspective. Make no mistake, though, there is a revenue component here. There's the direct revenue that comes from being involved in these events, and then there's the ricochet event or the ricochet to the event, which also generates revenue, and there's your company being positioned as thought leaders, okay? So there's plenty that we're going to do, but this is a non-traditional proprietary approach that we've utilized, and this really comes inspired from our clients, Jed, that have been deploying this strategy tied to bringing in community outreach events. So let's talk about number one, what is smart about working with community outreach programs, okay? And first off, being involved in community outreach programs, if we match it up to our readers, it makes sense because there's more engagement with our readers and readership. Take, for example, one of our projects years ago was a group that was selling ads into the home and garden space, Jed, and they would partner very closely with a particular event and a particular show, and then as time went forward, there were 6, 8, and 10 shows, and they would show up at the shows, and there was a variety of ways that we'd work with the shows and ultimately to create exclusive events, but it was one of those things that we could kind of ride along and then even enhance our media publication. Another example, for those of you that sell ads, for example, to realtors, a very natural way to partner is to partner with what? Habitat for Humanity. In many cases, your board of realtors already have that in place, and you can bolt your way in, and there's another way that you can also engage. Years ago, we worked with a client on the West Coast who was very much into the hot rod space, Jed, and we partnered with Ford Motor. We had drawings. We had all kinds of promo stuff going on. We had all kinds of hype, and the winner got a Ford Motor, which was an amazing giveaway and created all kinds of buzz related to that kind of giveaway and so forth. So whether we're partnering with home and garden shows, whether we're partnering with Habitat, whether we're working with Ford Motor, and there's a giveaway for an engine and all, these are just kind of things that kind of get your mind kind of working a little bit. You start to think about what kind of events, what kind of drawings, what kind of contests, what kind of walk that we might do for MS or the Cancer Society or whatever it might be. There's all kinds of ways with the right audience matched up to. In some cases, it's spot on to your audience. In some cases, it's a community event that you sort of bolt into, raise the visibility, and get very involved from that perspective. So there's no right answer or wrong answer related to this. Our first response is always going to be, how does that audience fit in perfectly? Ford Motor, tying in to our client who produced a publication and a website tied to the hot rod sector, was a perfect fit. Realtors tied in with Habitat is already a natural. There's always been a symbiotic relationship. Realtors sell homes and help others buy homes, and the building of homes for Habitat is such an extraordinary fit. So we want just to kind of start down that path for just a few minutes and have you also think about that when you position it, when you do it well, you can also gain exclusivity. Okay, and one of those exclusivities, let's talk about some of those examples. With the Ford Motor, once our clients secured that, they were exclusive. Ford Motor would not work with any of the competitors. That's a beautiful example, year after year after year, and it frosted the competitors that nobody else could get a partnership with Ford Motor, and we were so far out in front of it. Let's talk about the Home and Garden example. Home and Garden example, tied in with the Home and Garden magazine, symbiotic relationship. Based on our coaching and guidance, our client went to the show promoters and said, look, we'd like to do a show guide. We'd like to do some additional advertising. We want to do some media exposure. Hey, all the things that we want to do, though, means that we are the only publication and the only website and the only newsletters that are promoting this event. We don't want any of our competitors at the event. And you start to think about these home and garden shows, Jed, where you've got 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 attendees, and your competitors get iced out of that. Then you take another 5 or 7 or 10 more events in the course of the year, and you begin to control those. Competitors are getting iced out of visibility, 50, 70, 100,000 attendees or more, in these various events. We learned a long time ago, every single time that we can ice competitors, gain exclusivities, and have something special to talk about, it gave us an advantage. Again, notice the tie-in to community outreach events. We didn't just distinguish community service events, because there is that, and we just didn't tie into the outreach. Yeah, it's that, but there's a little bit more here. If you turn the diamond 2 degrees and turn it 2 more degrees, there's more here, and there's more to think about within your own marketplace, and that's where the element of your own creativity has to come into place. Make no mistake, today we're also going to talk about, in some cases, we attach to an organization, in some cases, we go to an organization with an idea, and in some cases, we create our own event. So there are multiple paths tied to that. So one of the things that it also does, Jed, when we're doing this kind of work, it lets us tuck it into our media presentation. It gives us a page to talk about our community involvement and why we do and what we do and how it's a fundraiser or how it's a giveaway or how it ties into that particular audience. So it really helps us improve our presentation. When we get to that part, it's kind of that warm, fuzzy, kind of nice part in our media presentation that we get a chance to say, here's how committed we are to the specific sector. So if I'm working with a real and I'm looking to sell ads, and I let them know, hey, listen, we do have a really big push. I know that there's a big Habitat build in February. Hey, our team is going to be there. We've got a couple ad agencies that are doing some extra promo. Hey, we've got shirts that we're going to be producing for the event. We'd love to provide for all the people in your office. Of course, we'd love your office to participate. Remember, as I'm talking to that realtor, there might be 20 realtors in that office, Jed. In this particular case, I might only be selling ads to 5, but there's 15 more that are all coming to this Habitat event, all because I invited them. So guess what? It reinforces the ad buy and relationship with 5, and it's most likely I'm going to get an opportunity to go connect with, to engage, to build some trust and relationships with the other 15. And let's be very honest, on the back end, it's very likely that a good portion of those other 15 are going to join the ad campaigns like the first five. So I'm always looking for that kind of advantage. It also means in my side-by-side comparison, which is a very important part of our proprietary signature work when we're out giving media presentations, in our side-by-side, there's an entire section about community events and community outreach. And that, again, gives you an advantage over competitors, especially if you've created exclusive opportunities. Now, you might pause and say, yeah, but the Board of Realtors, you know, sort of, Ernest, already does something every February. I can bolt into that. True, but we could come back around in May and just work with Coldwell Banker and just create a signature event for Coldwell Banker in May just related to their habitat build. So you go, oh, Ernest, you're right. We could be participating with the Board of Realtors on the one big one that they do annually, but we could actually have some signature ones with one or two of the top real estate offices. They've got enough people to pull it off. It gives us a way to get closer to them, and we can carve out that particular piece. So again, just utilizing this piece, thinking about how it works with those of you who sell ads to realtors, and then how we add the marketing and how we tie in the actual event as well. It's also helpful to remember that when you're wrapping yourself in the envelope of Home and Garden Show, a Habitat, a Walk for MS, these are wonderful events. There's a give back. There's a warm, nice feeling. Your team will love it, meaning your media team. You can invite their spouses and even their children, depending on the particular event. For those of you using that Habitat example, if you actually built a home, I have. It's been part of our family tradition for about 40 years. I've been on site. It's such a great experience. I've been back 5 years and 10 years later, and the same homeowners are there, and they never forget, you know, how everybody came to rally and bring that together. It's very memorable from that perspective. One more quick example. In my San Diego days, Jed, in my early days working on the apartment side of the house, we also did an annual walk every year. It was a charity walk. The team would decide what we wanted to do. And then we went out to our property management owners and developers, got them excited. Then we went out to the properties themselves, got them excited, and their teams and their families. And then we went out to the residents. We took it all the way down the vertical from the building owner and management company down through the on-site team that's managing that building down to their residents and rolled it all the way back up again. It was unbelievably successful. Some years, 600, 700, 800 attendees that all would show up with our shirts, that were all part of Umbrella, that all came to our hospitality tent. And guess what? Not all of those building developers and those on-site teams were our advertisers, but by the time we were done promoting the event, putting shirts on them, having a great time at the event, building those nice warm relationships, it was easy peasies to sell ads afterward, to sell ads as we were following through, and literally people that just said, you know, I always knew that you were out there, Ernest. I always knew your team was there. I didn't realize how much you cared. I know this is, you know, your annual event, and this is spectacular. Hey, make certain, you know, you call me next week. I want to sit down and talk about the marketing that you and your team are doing. It was so easy to come through the back door because we wrapped ourselves in their flag. Jed, your comment, just as I'm sort of sharing this part about smart working with community events and outreach like this.
Well, I'm just, you know, I guess I'm sort of thinking about how the relationship goes. So if a publication works with let's say a Home and Garden Show, is it appropriate for the publication to try to get, for example, the email addresses and names of the attendees, mm-hmm. so that they can follow up. You know, it seems like, you know, with the data has become such an important part of the publication business, right? If you can get a name and email address, then chances are you can grow your readership as a result of that, whether it's through your print version, through your online version, through your e-newsletters, whatever it may be. But do you find that you're able to make those types of deals with, you know, with the organization that's putting an event on?
Mm-hmm. Jed, as always, Mic drop. You are the man. The answer is yes, there is that piece. So let's use the home show, for example. Part of the deal is, yes, we're going to provide a program guide, and then as people came through, we'd say, hey, and by the way, here's a drawing for, there's three different drawings going on, and one is for a landscaping package with a $500 savings, and one is for a pool package with $750, and here's another one for, and there were like three different offerings. People are like, oh my God, and there's drawings for these? And, you know, they're walking into the home and garden show. Great, Leah, where do I fill it out? So, yes, positively. We gave them the guide on the left. We gave them the postcard on the right. And, boom, they were put into the system. And, obviously, you could do that on an iPad. There's other ways, you know, to do this, you know, in terms of that registration. But the point is we positively captured and gave their names, their email addresses, what brought them there. And, of course, you know, and then we always looked for kind of an interesting data point. We always wanted their zip code because it told us where people were coming from. Then we could go back to our advertisers and say, hey, we had 20,000 people come through the gate. This is where they came from. This is what they're interested in. And that gave us specific marketing add-ons to do so we could say to the pool companies, hey, these are, you know, there's 1,400 people that are interested in, you know, pool renovations this summer, for example, or landscaping, you know, services and so forth. So we let them check those boxes, and then that gave us a nice bolt-in on the back end. So in the program guides, we were able to sell the advertising and revenue share with the show promoters. We were able to capture the email and data, and then on the back end, we were able to gift, give, and provide those back to the advertisers that had come in with such nice ad bundles. We were able to basically give them leads on the back end, in addition to adding them to what? Our own marketing newsletter and our own marketing efforts as well. So, Jed, to your point, yes, a very multi-pronged marketing approach because we captured that information as they came through. And why did they want to give it to us? Because there was a drawing for some really nice stuff.
Right.
Makes sense?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it seems like that would be so valuable.
Mm-hmm. You bet. It's a great question. Speaking of questions, Darren writes to us, how do you define a community outreach event? Well, you're hearing examples of this. But really the bigger question, Darren, for you is, what is your perfect audience? Where does it fit given your readership, given your subscribers, given your editorial focus? You know, what is it, who, you know, and we always like to start, Jed, with the word I wish. I wish, you know, this was the perfect event, or I wish this was a group I could align with. Great. Then in some cases, like the Habitat example, oh, yeah, but there's already something that goes on, and it's really a big deal with the realtors. Okay, that's fine. But go carve out just one for Coldwell Banker. And watch them smile going, great. Or go carve one out just for the Keller Williams group and do that in the summer. You could have 2, 3, 4 builds going on in the course of a year that are well beyond just what's being done. You can participate in the big one for your entire market, but then you could do some call-out ones, and then you go do what? You go partner with Habitat to go get that done. So, Darren, again, a great question related to that. And then you also asked, do annual events matter more than non-annual? That's entirely based on your particular need and market and focus. The frequency doesn't matter as much as what it is you're going to do and how to make it memorable from that perspective. Okay?
You know, Ernest, it would almost seem like there's like almost two types of events, right? There's mm-hmm. events that are, you know, sort of focused on events that you can kind of sell advertising around. And then there's mm-hmm. events that probably are difficult to sell advertising around, but might be good at for generating new readership, you know, that are more sort of community-oriented as opposed to commerce-oriented.
You're exactly right. They really, truly are. The show example is a revenue relationship and an exclusivity. And then you've got give backs like a Habitat. Hey, we're going to do it, and we're going to bring a couple hundred people, and then we're going to do some fundraising, and we're going to go build these homes, and we're going to rally everybody around it. And so those are more of a give back, but you're getting access to the influencers. So if I go to, you know, Keller Williams, and I'm selling ads to their realtors, and I'm working with, you know, 50 of them, but there's 150 more that I'm not getting appointments, or not returning my calls, or not responding to my emails, but suddenly we have an event next month, I got access to all of them. And suddenly,
right,
I've got 200 of them. You know, even if my 50 and I bolted another new 50, guess what? I got 50 of the 200. Now I'm talking to 100 of the 200. You build that momentum. So you are right. There are different kinds of events, and they do different things. We like to talk about both because in some cases our clients do both. In some cases they just lead with one and it naturally flows into the other. And in some cases, like the exclusive home shows, that's all we do. We don't have the nonprofit give back side just because we're so busy with our current events. Just a little comment about this. There's a group in New York that I spoke with earlier this year, Jed. They literally lead with events and back into their media solutions on the other side. I totally forgot about them. The really fascinating group, they've been in business for about 15 years, and they really began on the show side and the show events, and it just kind of rolled along, and the shows have become a really dominant part of their media strategy. Then they backed into their show guides and their publications, their newsletters and their website. So it is kind of interesting that this, make no mistake, this can be a bolt-in, like a turbo on top of your V8, it can be a bolt-in, so to speak. But on the other side, it could actually be the whole engine and the turbo. It can actually go on to become that big a deal if done correctly on that side. And again, an incredible competitive advantage. So let's shift gears. Number two, we said that we would talk about how will outreach events, like we're talking about, give you and your media sales team smart visibility with key advertisers, potential new advertisers, and ad agencies. And I think the ad agency part is the most intriguing, but we'll get to that in just a minute. But they're always looking for ways to do value add. They're always looking for ways to showcase their advertisers a little bit different. So we'll get to that in just a second, okay? So why is it smart? Number one, we've been talking about it improved these kinds of strategies improve your USP. What is that? Your unique selling or sales proposal. It gives you a better story to explain. It gives you a competitive advantage. When I mentioned earlier about the home shows in that particular example, you heard me say exclusive. Exclusive means what? No competitors are there. They don't get access to the people coming to the door. They don't have booths as they come through. There's none of their publications there. True, pure exclusives mean you literally have boxed or iced out a competitor. And I always say the words, if you've been on the other side and been frosted because a competitor did this to you, you know exactly what I'm saying. And that's when you sort of pause and go, hey, Ernest, guess what? My competitor has deployed exactly this strategy, and I don't have any room to breathe. And guess what? We may have to bolt in our own event or our own show or our own opportunities, and we may have to craft that, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So this is one of those pieces related to competitors. There is a little comment about this, though. Once you do develop the relationship with that show or with that charitable organization, they are likely to want to keep working with you, and that continuum is a bit difficult for a competitor to dislodge you, okay? So it helps to be first, and it helps to go to. This also syncs up with the topic, Jed, of my book, Smart Match Alliances. We wrote it 12 years ago. It's as valid today as ever because it also talks about this kind of partnering and this kind of exclusivity, okay? These kinds of events are also, I just want to say on the personal side, for you and your media sales team, not only are these fun events for your sales team, but it's kind of nice to tuck in spouses, kind of nice to tuck in kids. Like if you're going to go out and do an MS walk and you're going to do a big fundraiser and you've got all of your advertisers and potential advertisers that are going to be there, it's really kind of a fun event for you and your team. It's one of those kind of feel-good kind of opportunities. We often talk about that in these teleseminars. What else? Why are these events smart? Because it lets you connect more deeply with advertisers. Jed, we've talked about this in prior teleseminars. When you have non-traditional selling experiences, hey, I'm going to take this group out and we're golfing, or we're going to go deep-sea fishing, or we're all going to go watch the horses in Del Mar. You know, when you have those kind of non-traditional, you know, selling opportunities, you get to know people on a deeper level. There's a deeper bond. There's a deeper connection. Some of those advertisers, there's a woman by the name of Lonnie. Lonnie I used to sell ads to in the downtown San Diego area. We go back 30 years ago. Lonnie lives in Sacramento. We're friends on Facebook, and it's like we always have stayed in touch and been in touch for 30 years. But why? Because she loved to play tennis, and I'd play tennis with her on the weekends and with her group, and she loved that piece, and we've always kept connected because of the personal connection, which leads to this day, still the Facebook connection. connection on the social side. And even though she hasn't, quote, been a client forever because she was just a advertising buying client yet in those days, we still enjoy that warm connection. And I always laugh with her and say, you taught me so much about advertising. Jed, I'll never forget, I came in to a meeting and said, I want you to see how I'm tracking your ads. And by the way, this was the old school stuff, Jed. I want you to see how I track it. I want you to see the questions we're asking. And then I want to show you by the day, by the week, the number of calls, the number of visits, the number of closing. I'm going to show you, you'll appreciate this, Jed, 1988, cost per call. She showed me. Manually calculated. And she had one of those manila folders, but not the regular size, you know, the legal size, the long ones. She had this grid. This is literally pre-Excel. She had a grid built and all hand calculated that she could show me cost per call, cost per tour, right, those who came in to the apartment building and toured, and then cost per lease, cost per sale. You go, Ernest, that was 3 decades ago. She taught you. She showed you her numbers. I said, yeah, I spent almost 2.5 hours. I never forgot it. Jen, I'm going way back in the time capsule, but she was spot on even back then, tracking the results of what am I spending versus the activity that I'm generating. You follow me on that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Right?
No, really. Yeah, no, it's true.
She taught me those things, and it was profoundly important. And then I began to teach other advertisers to do the same. Here we are 3 decades later. What's changed? Nothing, man. It's still, what did I expend? What did I get? And how does that compare, right? So when we do these kinds of events, and you bring people along, and you have these wonderful experiences, by the way, Lonnie was always part of our annual charity walk and loved that and rallied her team, and everyone's wearing the shirts, and you'd wander around, and you know, this year's going to be all pink shirts, or next year all green shirts, or all yellow. You could see where all of us were there, and all of that was driven by myself, my media team, and all of our work. Now, let's go to the other side. Make no mistake, all right, this is also a way to secure biz from non-advertisers. We're going to invite our advertisers on the left. We're going to do what? Bring our prospects and non-advertisers on the right, and we're going to bring them all along. So back in the days of San Diego, where these were all the apartment buildings we were working with, all of them were included, plus their sales teams, plus their residents. But we also did what? Rallied those who were not advertisers, and we loved that. And they got to know us. We built warm relationships. And the following week, we had what? Very, very easy, soft meetings to do what? Go in, give a presentation, and write biz on that side. It's truly coming through the back door. But there's one more piece in here, and I mentioned it, Jed, at the very beginning, ad agencies. I realize, and we realize, that not all of you work with ad agencies, depending on who's making the media buys. But ad agencies are always looking for ways to bring a little something extra to their advertising clients and relationships. Let us show you this campaign, and let us show you this nice. They love this kind of stuff. They love charitable causes. They love MS walks. They love Habitat for Humanity. And here's the whisper. And they'll help you with the marketing of it. We're going to do this for our client, but we're also going to go viral. We also reach out to the newspaper. We also reach out to the radio. We also reach out. They're going behind the scenes helping you drive it. And that's the most amazing part. It's the part you never expect. But suddenly, they're really engaged. And for as sometimes difficult it can be to open doors with agencies, sometimes they can be sort of snooty, sometimes they can be short and curt, suddenly they're eating out of your hand. They want to know all about the event. They positively want to participate, and it is a wonderful experience. And what do we get with those ad agencies? Now they're there at the event. Same thing again. Nice, warm connections. The following week, what do we get? Nice, warm, wonderful meetings on the other side. Sometimes, Jed, we're asked about the follow-up and follow-through. And what we'll typically do so that we positively get meetings the following week is you've seen at various shows and events where they'll have kind of cutouts, put your face in or stand next to, and there's a famous person or a scene or whatever that might be. We always would build those, and our clients to this day always have something that we can put the participants in a picture. And then we come back out with a nice little frame, and we have something to give them with that photo and framed as follow-up.
Sort of like Disney World. Sort of like, yes, Disney World when you go on, yes, go on the rides.
You see? You got it. Yep. That's exactly. So we always have something memorable that gives us a reason, right, and give post-event. Okay? So for those of you that are wondering,
I mean, one thing. One thing just to build on a little bit with your what you mentioned about ad agencies, you know, one thing that's kind of interesting about that is that if you get an ad agency involved, they may have, the reason why most clients will hire an ad agency is that they want someone who's kind of integrating many, many different mediums, right? So they want someone who's gonna sort of oversee, you know, radio and television and print and online and, you know, direct mail and sort of coordinate all those things to be sort of working in the same direction. And one of the things that you can do, I would assume, with an event type of focus is that if you're able to generate sort of opt-in email addresses, so to speak, mm-hmm. you know, those mm-hmm. can be used in many, many different ways, right? So for an ad agency, that's like gold, because then mm-hmm. you can use that information to, you know, to build LinkedIn, you know, mm-hmm. you know, LinkedIn connections, or to build, you know, Twitter followers, or to build, you know, Facebook followers, or whatever it may be. So if you're offering them more than just exposure, right, you're also offering them data, that's probably something that's really exciting to most ad agencies, at least the ones that we deal with.
Absolutely. Here's a little story that kind of also inspired this. This comes, by the way, also from the multifamily apartment space. In New Jersey, the largest builders and managers of buildings in the New Jersey area partnered with Move for Hunger. Okay, I didn't know anything about Move for Hunger, but here was the deal. When people are leaving their apartment, you know, you have the inevitable in your refrigerator. I've got, you know, cans of beans or tuna or pineapple slices, whatever it is, and it's all going in the garbage. And the property management company said, wait, why don't we tie in with, you know, Move for Hunger? This is kind of a nice deal, non-perishables, right? And they've gone in the last 18 months from 8 properties to over 1,000. They've now collected 33,000 pounds of food for the local food banks. Like, how cool is that, right? I mean, here's a beautiful piece of what they've done. So this is an example of multifamily partnering with an organization called Move for Hunger. Now, you might go, Ernest, how does that relate to media? Well, hang on. If I was selling ads into the multifamily space in New Jersey and I learned about this, I would become what? The biggest drum beater to how do we go from 1,000 to 5,000? How do we go from 5,000 to 10,000? How do we get everybody charging forward on this? How do we have a big annual celebration and party and event that I can rally around? That's a perfect way where you take what's going on and you bolt your way in and you accentuate it, okay? And so that's, you know, so sometimes, you know, sort of having a little creativity, Jed, sort of around, well, gee, I just heard about, or I just saw this, or I just saw that. How could we participate? This sounds amazing. Okay? So that's another one of those examples, and that's where it takes sometimes a little creativity to sort of think about this. Let's also recognize that when you have a media event like this, and you have ad agencies behind it, and they are talking about this online event, and you're getting media visibility, you're also getting technically what's called backlinks. The media is covering it. It's being picked up by other websites. It's gone a bit viral. People are posting on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or Twitter, all feeding back what? To your site, which does what? Raises the authority of your website, which does what? Raises your search engine visibility, which does what? Raises the number of visitors to your site, which means advertisers are getting what? Seen by more, which means more results. You see where we're going? And then you take it from the online, you move them back over to the print. You see where I'm going? In other words, Jed, it's all here. It's marketing in today's age as a media company is in a circle, just like we want our advertisers to do it. There's no beginning or end. It's all circular. So I can bring them from an event, Jed, capture a name and an email address, move them back to my e-newsletter. My newsletter brings them back to the website, so advertisers are getting more results. I also have them given the ability to subscribe to the print on the other side. It's all circular. So these events create that audience, Jed, much like you were pointing to on that side as well, okay? I want to address Gina's question. And, Gina, I know exactly where you are because I had media publications right in your area. So it warmed my heart when I saw you register for today. Gina's in California, in Southern California specifically. And she asks, what is the best way to engage involvement in community events without making everything you do afterward a complimentary service? And Gina, I hope you're already hearing that there's nothing complimentary about what we're doing. We're driving biz. We're driving engagement, and we're driving biz. In the case of the home shows, direct revenue. In the case of Habitat and working with realtors, in that example, on sort of the nonprofit give back, we're building engagement, relationships, and we're opening doors to be able to sell advertising. There is nothing complimentary. Now, you might pause and say, but how is this any different than, you know, Habitat calling me up saying, you know, gee, do you want to sponsor something? Write me a check for $5,000. You know, Jed, we haven't actually called out the opposite, right? The opposite is, oh, gosh, I have organizations call me all the time. You know, I'm writing checks for all kinds of things. What makes sense for my media group? None of this relates to that, gang. That is not our purpose and intent. If you call me up and said, hey, look, I got five ways to go spend $50,000, I'm like, please don't. Please reach out to Habitat and say, I'd like to do more than be a sponsor. I'd like to actually have a home that we're going to go build, and I want to rally my team and rally my advertisers, and we're going to go do our own. And they're like, whoa, that's way more than a sponsorship. That's way more than we were thinking about. I love it. I'm still listening. Okay? Same thing goes. Let's go back to the Home Mag show. Oh, yeah, we'd love you to be the sponsor. Why be a sponsor? Why do you want this when I could be the show guide? We could have a revenue share. We could do these kinds of drawings. We could do this kind of marketing. I'm going to tie in these ad agencies. And they're going, holy smokes, that's 10x more than you just writing a check. So every time you're asked to write a check for an event, step back, and go, why am I writing a check when I could be doing so much more than that? Okay? Let's transition to point number three that we said that we would also cover. When does it make sense to join an existing event versus building or creating your own? Okay? We've been touching on this a little bit, but we really, Jed, should sort of set up some, you know, guidelines or some guardrails here a little bit, okay? My first piece is it's a whole lot easier if I'm a surfer to be in the water, in the ocean, the wave crests, and I'm going to ride a wave. That visual for me is so much easier. Now, there are things you can do to maximize an event that you could say, hey, yeah, if the wave is 3 feet, and if I could make that wave 10 feet or 15 feet, it'd be even a faster ride to the beach. The answer is yes, it would. Okay? So we always say, number one, what could you join and participate that's already there? We call that low-hanging fruit. Then part two is, what can you do to maximize it to raise the visibility? So let's take something like an MS walk, right? A charitable walk. Pretty straightforward. Groups have been doing it forever. Ernest, we're not going to go build that out. By gosh, by the time you get done with insurance and blocking roads and police and medical people, we're not going to go, no, you're not. Okay, that is true, but you can maximize it. So if I were selling ads to RV dealers, or if I were selling ads to realtors or auto dealers or chiropractors, and I could go put, you know, 200 or 300 people or even 50 people in my shirts, and we're all matched up, and we're all excited, and I got a hospitality tent, I'm loving life. I've maximized it. Maybe there's even more I could do on the media side. I'm maximizing it. I truly believe, and any time our media clients come to us and talk about this or we discuss it with them, we always start with what's currently there, bolt in, not sponsor, but bolt in, what can we do to maximize it, and what can we do to make it even better, okay? You can take the lead, you can sell boots, and you can do team kind of projects, and you can sell programs, you can revenue shares, all kinds of things on that side, okay? And I'm also going to encourage you, whenever you do those, to work with the boards or work with the key leaders or work with the committees related to that. That's where you find the ways to maximize, okay? A little example on that. Jen, the last 30 days, we've worked with, in Park City, low-income kids that want to finish high school and go on to college. 7 years we work with them. It's called Bright Futures. Last year, they fundraised $8,000. This year, we did $75,000. Okay, 118 nonprofits in Park City. We were number two in the fundraising. Why? Well, because they put somebody in charge of the fundraising and asked this person to go get it done, which would happen to be me. Okay? This is an example of doing what? Maximizing it, okay? Increasing the velocity and having a game plan to do that, okay? So get everybody involved, and that will help you as well, okay? A little note about sometimes when we're working with media groups, Jed, they say, gee, I don't know what events are going on, or I don't know what events my advertisers or prospective advertiser agencies are focused on or interested in. Guess what? Ask them. They'll tell you. Oh, yeah, we do the MS Walk. Oh, yeah, we're doing the Habitat. Oh, yeah, let them tell you or we've always wanted to do this, or we've always thought about that. Okay? So, bottom line, you know, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You just have to ask the smartest questions. Hence what we're talking about. Okay? Don't get stuck around that. Don't overthink it. Don't overplay it. Somebody will easily tell you what's going on or give you the I wish. For example, go back to that Keller Williams example and Habitat. They say, oh, yeah, every year we do the Habitat with, you know, the Board of Realtors, and it's February. But, man, we've always wanted to do our own. And, you know, we're the second largest brokerage here in Calgary, or we're the largest in Seattle, and we really want to kick it up. Well, good. Why don't we work together on it? Fabulous. And, of course, in your mind, you're going, this will be a great event. Yes, we're going to build a house. Yes, we're going to rally. Yes, we'll organize it. But the real piece is I'm only working with 30 of those Keller Williams in Seattle, and there's 130 more. Make no mistake, you are rallying for the right cause, for the right visibility, for the right marketing. You'll be incredibly successful, but you will write ad pages, and you will sell online ads as well from the other side. Okay? Now, let's pivot for a sec. Imagine for a second, okay, you can't do above. You can't follow. In other words, you've got to roll it out yourself. Okay, we can do that. It just takes more focus and more time. A little comment about this is that we like to fold in college interns to run point on this. The real secret sauce is that you do not want to do it and go alone. Because these can take a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of emails, a lot of meetings, a lot of follow-through, a lot of project management. It takes a lot of logistics. So the first piece is we never, ever want to take your eye off the ball of what? Driving and selling ads. So a college intern, why is it perfect for them? Because it gives them a project through their college years or in their college days that if I'm a college student focusing on business or marketing or entrepreneurship, this is a perfect feather in my cap. Let me run point, and then you as a company write a really nice letter of recommendation. You put it up on LinkedIn. You add that as a reference for me as a college student later down the line, and off you go as a result of that. It's not an expensive proposal for them to come on board, and it lets your media team generate the benefit from it without getting lost in the details. There are plenty of them. You've got to map it out. You've got to promote it. You've got to have a calendar and timeline. You've got to tie in the local companies. You've got all the invitations. You have all those things going on. Then you also have to build sort of what it's going to be. For example, if I was going to put on an event for RV dealers, right, in recreational vehicles. Well, you know, what dealers are going to be there? What manufacturers are going to be there? Who's going to speak? What demos and drive are going to be done? How are we going to capture the data? Jed, that you were talking earlier. You know, what kind of videos might be there? You know, 10 fun tours with your RV that you can watch some rolling videos. Look, there's plenty of work to be done to map out what you're going to do, what the event's going to include, and how you're going to promote it, how you're going to tie in those ad agencies as well, like we've talked about, tie in the community, and there might even be a give back. You might also say, not only are we doing this for the RV space, but we're also tying it into a fundraiser for this charitable organization. Bingo. Okay? And the quick example that I shared with Bright Futures, we were one of 118 nonprofits. In the span of 24 hours, we generated $2.4 million from 5,000 unique donors. That was our goal. That's what we accomplished because we all pulled together. So there are those kinds of opportunities. Jed, any comment about, you know, existing events versus bolting in and doing our own?
No, I mean, you know, I'm just thinking about sort of all the different ways you can work it. I mean, obviously, you know, if you're working in a specific vertical, you know, and you're there's probably more defined trade shows that are relevant to what you're doing, as opposed to if you're more geographically based, right? There's almost no limit to it. I mean, I'm thinking about parades. I'm thinking about, you know, like sort of, you know, you could do almost anything, right? Especially if you have a dual purpose sort of readership slash you know, readership slash revenue. You know, if part of your goal is just sort of visibility. I mean, but one of the things I'm wondering, you know, is that, you know, with the with what's gone on in the United States over the past, you know, over the past like 10, 15 years when it comes to the production of news. You know, one of the things that's kind of interesting is that, you know, it seems as though there's almost the opportunity for local news producers, right, in whatever form that may be, whether it's for a specific vertical or whether it's for more general news, local news producers to be sort of a cause in and of themselves, right? I mean, right. You know, I think more and more people are realizing that, you know, without the local print outlet, you know, whatever its flaws may be, but without that local print outlet, no one's going to the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. No one's covering the wetlands meeting. No one is going to the Board of Selectmen meeting, right? They serve a purpose that that I think that maybe, you know, people didn't fully understand, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, right? And so the extinction of local news, right, has become such a big concern. It would almost seem as though a local news outlet could latch on to an existing event, you know, in large part because supporting local news is almost become equivalent to supporting, you know, a nonprofit. I mean, in your neck of the woods, right? The Salt Lake Yep. Tribune just became the first daily to be declared nonprofit. I don't know if that means subscription,
Jed, you
right?
Yeah, you mean nothing, baby. I love that. Yeah, it's
right,
true.
Right? I mean, I don't know if that means that a subscription is tax deductible or, you know, but regardless, right? It's you know, it's just a sign of the changing times and how publications and news producers are no longer sort of, I think, in many places, no longer considered just sort of a business that's just trying to sell advertising and make money, right? There's a bigger purpose to it. I'm just trying to think of how you can meld the two ideas, you know, and sort of serve both purposes.
Well, and again, here comes another example. We needed to raise about $8 or $9 million for a family farm that wanted to put an easement on it and forever make it a farm and keep it a farm, or they were going to sell it and convert it into real estate. And there would have been homes spread across I think it was about 170 acres, right? They've been farming it for five generations, and they reach out to the community. Well, guess who ran point? All the, you know, individuals were making contributions, but the local business journal and the media team did what? Went out to all the businesses, put them all out on the property, served a luncheon out there, brought the media, talked to the media, got the businesses involved, and guess what? It got funded, okay? So that's,
right,
again, one of those examples, right, where we say, hey, get involved in your community. That's an example of what? A special cause. That's not an event like a home show, or that's not a give back like an MS Walk or a Habitat. That's sometimes just a special cause. And so that's one of those stories where you just go, wow, that's even kind of another way. Yeah, sometimes it's timing. And by the way, that Osgathorpe farm that now is funded and will never again be construction there, you know, was something that the community had rallied around. But for the next 50 or 100 years, there'll never be another opportunity for the Business Journal and the media team to go, you know, bring those business leaders out to the farm, serve them a nice meal, bring the media and weave it around. But guess what? The relationships that those businesses have with the business journals will never be forgotten. Those business leaders will never forget the beautiful meal that was served out on the farm under a nice tent on a beautiful day. The contributions were handled, and they'll forever remember that relationship. But guess what the business journal gets long after? The media buys. Okay? And the relationship.
Right.
And that's the very essence of what entire conversation is. So let's just come around the bend with just some closing words related to this. You can hear as Jed and I are speaking, what do you get? In some cases, like the home guy in the home shows, you get direct revenue. In other cases, you get what? Ripple revenue. There's nothing complimentary here or free for doing your work. sponsorships are. You write checks and you lean back and go, I wonder what I'll get for it. That's not what this is about, okay? Remember, too, it means you're a thought leader in the space. It's really a wonderful place to come from. Rather than that transaction of you want to buy an ad, I'd like to rally your Keller Williams teams to do something meaningful, separate from what the Board of Realtors are doing. And in May, we're going to go build a Keller Williams home. And by the way, you're going to let Keller Williams do all the marketing to their homeowners and their prospects and their websites, and their ad agency would love for that to go viral, and they'll help you on that side. You're a thought leader, okay? You also become what? A must-buy and a must-renew media source, and that's always the focus for Jed and myself. You want to be a must-buy. You want to be an absolute, of course we're going to renew and continue because you're embedded as part of that community. When you go back to Keller Williams and you go back to sell those ads or renew those ads on those 50 realtors you're already working with, of course they're going to smile. And always remember the shirt. And the shirt might even be up on their desk, and they want to know the next house we're going to build. And then you walk into the office and you feel like a celebrity because, you know, 10 or 15 others that haven't yet bought ads are thanking you and remembering the one experience, and four of them are saying, but listen, I need a window of time because guess what? I need to be advertising on your website, your newsletter, and in your magazine. It all works together. And then ultimately, for those of you as the owners and presidents and CEOs of your company, every strategy we utilize is also intended to do what? Add more value to the asset of your media company, which means at the end of the day that your company will be sold for a premium. Everything that we do, block by block by block, and every single teleseminar is intended on the day you're ready to sell your company, you'll have an entire tab called Community Outreach Events. And you'll be able to talk to a buyer about what you did in calendar year 2019, 2 years, 4 years, 10 years from today, all the things that you've done because of something you learned in our teleseminar today. So for all of you and for each of you that are here live that listen to our teleseminar after we wrap up here today, what a pleasure and what a delight. And Jed, my gosh, over what, the last 12, 13 years that we've been rolling along doing these together, so appreciate you, so appreciate MediaBids, your team. You're amazing to work with, and this is just a delight to be working together. So thank you so much. It's always an honor and a pleasure, and this is a topic over 25 years we've never, ever done until today. So as we pause and sort of wrap up today, Jed, how about some closing words, and then we'll wrap up our teleseminar for today.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Ernest. I mean, you've got my wheels turning on how these types of events can be used, and it's interesting. Not something that I often consider, but thanks to everyone who joined us. We really appreciate it. If you have any questions about MediaBiz, feel free to reach out, and we look forward to reconnecting with you at our next health seminar.
Beautiful, and we'll see all of you at the start of 2020. A little comment about that. We always love your topics. You inspire us. This topic came as an inspiration from some client work that we've been doing recently, and examples specifically of what we've been doing for and with them. Let us know your challenges, your opportunities, the questions you have for Jed and myself, and, of course, come into MediaBids. For those of you that are already working with them, you know the work they do. For those of you that have not, come into MediaBids and make certain you have an opportunity to connect with Jed and their team. They're extraordinary what they do, including between now and the end of the year. And then likewise, come into our website, powerhour.com. You'll see the work that we've done for 2+ decades. We love media sales and selling, period. We absolutely love it. And whether we're talking about your publication, your digital footprint, or your newsletter, your alliances, or in this case, even community events and activities, all of it matters. Always remember, to be successful in media, it is a circle. Okay, always a circle, not a triangle. It's always in continuum. Okay, Jed, a pleasure working together. See you next year. And Jed, at the beginning of the year, you have a tradition of sort of doing what? Breaking out some of those stats and numbers out of the cookie jar. So I'm just giving you a little preview. I love that every single year that we do it, and we have a huge turnout. Okay.
Okay. Thanks very much, Ernest. Thanks everyone for joining us.
Thanks, everyone. Make it a great day.
Thank you. Bye.